From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 8th day of March 2018. It's USDA Report Day. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Todd Hubbs from the University of Illinois will help us put into context this morning's WASD, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates Report. And then we'll hear about the impact on the cash grain situation with Matt Bennett at Bennett Consulting Channel C out of Windsor, Illinois. As we close out our time together, Mike Tenora will join us from T-Storm Weather in Chicago and give us his assessment of the changing production forecast for South America. And it all happens right here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Hey, do visit our website at willag.org. There you'll find out that tonight we have an event in Mattoon, Illinois at Lakeland College in the West Building, starting at 6:30. We'll talk about today's report and the markets, and I'll give you more details about who will be there.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason from University of Illinois Extension. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Hey, Dan, thanks so much for being here this afternoon. Hope you made a safe trip back to Waco, Texas after the all-day ag outlook on Tuesday.
Yeah, it went real smooth. We took the interstate all the way down. We took 57 all the way on down through Arkansas and then right on into Texas. So we didn't see any two-lane roads, so we were able to kind of make some real good time. And we're glad to be back in Texas, but I also enjoyed my time in Illinois, and especially over at the beef house there on Tuesday.
Now, for those who did not make it over on Tuesday, and things have changed since then because of this morning's USDA report a bit. However, I'll post that audio up to our website probably within the next 24 hours, maybe. I'll be kind of busy all evening this evening, but I might get to it. It is up on Twitter at this point, and if you know how to get to my SoundCloud account, you can find it. Search for the All Day Ag Outlook, and you'll be able to listen to all six of the panels that we hosted on Tuesday over at the Beef House. So one of the things that happened over there was that you were made a gift of a nice set of spurs, hoping that we could giddy up with the corn. I don't think you were there on Tuesday. I'm wondering, with the 225 million bushel change to the downside in ending stocks from 2.352 to 2.127, if you're feeling any more friendly to the corn market.
Well, I've been friendly. I just haven't been in the giddy up mode, simply because I didn't want to put a jinx on the uptrending market that we've had basically for the past several weeks. I do think you have to take a second look at today's balance sheet revisions on corn. I mean, that is a significant drop in ending stocks with increase in ethanol and increase in export demand. Now we have another big hurdle to go through at the end of the month. But today's balance sheet, anytime the supplies get smaller, and then when you add that to the world balance sheet on corn as getting smaller, those are all positive type developments, and I think you could see that the way that was reflected again in today's modestly higher corn market. I mean, I don't think very many people would have thought that we would have been up as much as we were here today within the last week or so. Today was a real strong day to the upside. We are in some overbought territory, so you know the market makes consolidate somewhere here. But as I mentioned over the beef house, I just think that we're more in a seasonal climb in both corn and soybeans, and the odds of having seasonal highs during the first 3 months of the year are very, very skinny when you come off of a big crop. And that's what we've done over the past couple of years. Basically, the low prices that we've had through the fall basically has increased demand. We got a little lucky here now with South American crop getting shortened up. And now we'll have to see what the growing season here in the United States is. But I think you have to stay friendly corn until the market can visualize the corn crop having been planted and or having been made. And that is more of a May, June, July time window than it is here during a January, February, March time window. I do know a lot of market advisors, and I do know a lot of these grain companies that do give advisory services have advised sales maybe 20 to 25%. I'm just more in the camp to stay patient on that. But like I mentioned there at the beef house, it's going to be noisy, and the market's so kind of like noise. They like to climb that wall of worry, and definitely we have that wall of worry to climb when you look at the supply-demand balance sheets, and then, of course, all of the outside market activity that we're having to kind of go through day by day.
Indeed. So some of the numbers that came from USDA today, and we talked about the 225 million bushel change for the corn market that was to the positive side, meaning that we in ending stocks went down by 225 million. The Brazilian corn crop, and that's mostly a second crop corn, so it's just getting put in the ground, dropped by about 20 million bushels. The Argentine corn crop, which has been impacted as well by the drought, we've usually talked about it as soybeans. That was dropped 118 million bushels. The soybean crop out of Brazil was up 37 million bushels. However, that doesn't even come close to making up for the loss in Argentina, which is expected to be 257 million bushels. So, however, given all of that, the soybean ending stocks in the United States changed as well. But they went up 25 million, and now we're standing, rather than at 530 million, at 555 million for the ending stocks. Do you see any good signs for that marketplace?
I'm sure the fundamentalists that look at balance sheets have sold this market a dollar ago, and it keeps on going higher. Yeah, that is just a frightening number. And then when you look out, for another year out, if we plant an extra million or two and you look at a trend line yield, there's some people I've seen carryouts now as big as 800 million bushels for a year from now. And that is just totally frightening. But, you know, that's the way they look at it right now. This soybean market is, I think, has just about amazed everyone. I mean, for the last 3 years, there's been all kinds of market advisors having advised farmers to sell those $10 beans, to sell those $10 beans in January and February and March. And here we are, $10.50, you know. So the $10 early bean sale hasn't worked for 3 years in a row. It might work this year. But on the other hand, we might go to 12. Obviously, there's something going on in the bean market that isn't well known or isn't known at all. I guess some guesses are somebody maybe has a better weather forecaster than everybody else has, and we're maybe not going to raise much of a bean crop this year. The other factor could be, and that could be also in corn, when we get into the stocks report, which will take us halfway through the marketing season, we may find out that USDA is carrying too big of production numbers. I know we got a big crop, but maybe the crop's not as big as what USDA has on paper. And we may end up with some smaller stocks, March 1st stocks numbers and what we think, and then that would maybe tighten up the supply again. So obviously somebody knows something that the majority of the crowd doesn't know with these beans. I mean, even with that bean carryover here today, beans were what, down 1 to 3 cents, depending upon which contract you're looking at. So the beans took that quite seriously or quite well. Now, with all that said, I do want to say that I do think it wouldn't be surprising to see these markets consolidate and or have a corrective decline sometime here going into the middle part of the month. And then we'll kind of just kind of level out, and then we'll keep, everybody will keep their fingers crossed to see what USGA will report on. I think March 29th is the day of the big report. Then we'll kind of go from there. But the markets continue nicely to trend higher. They're not getting out of hand. It's just a steady creep higher. Corn, when you look at the balance sheet, it has the most probably to gain, but maybe sometimes that's too obvious. And you look at the balance sheet on soybeans, you would think that somewhere in here, the corn, soybeans, corn would gain on soybeans or soybeans would lose to corn. But the markets are holding up quite nicely in here, given all of the negative outside influences that's been thrown at it over the past couple weeks in here, I think, Todd.
Hey, thanks so much. And maybe soon enough, we'll be able to get you put those spurs on and we'll giddy up.
Okay, we'll do that.
All right. That, of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Don't forget tonight you can join us in Coles County at Lakeland College, the West Building there at 6:30. Todd Hubbs from the Ovi Bill Mayer Strategic Farm Marketing, Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions, and Jackie Vakes at Stuart Peterson will be there. That starts at 6:30, sponsored by the Coles County Farm Bureau, Ovi Extension, and the College of Aces. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, joined now by Todd Hubbs, agricultural commodity specialist here on campus, to take a look at the USDA report released on the 8th day of March. This is the monthly world agricultural supply and demand estimate. This one has been, over the past couple of years, more anticipated than it used to be, mostly because the South American soybean crop, corn crop too, has had much more influence on the world market. Why first is that the case? And then we can go through the numbers.
You know, the rise of South American production in both corn and soybeans made them a bigger player on the world market, particularly for soybeans. We still dominate in corn production for the most part. But when you're thinking about the export markets in general, you know, loss of corn production in Argentina or Brazil is supportive for U.S. corn exports, you know, like we saw a couple years ago when they had the drought and we really picked up the exports strongly. So, yeah, this March report, the weather issues we see developing during the growing season in South America gives an extra impetus to looking at where the USDA thinks their production numbers are going. And so, yeah, it's grown in stature a bit, especially with the world production numbers, I think.
What did the United States Department of Agriculture say about the South American crops today?
Well, in the corn markets, they lowered Argentinian production 3 million metric tons, and they lowered Brazilian production 0.5 metric tons. I think many observers think that Brazilian number will probably be lower before it's all said and done. The USDA is sort of tiptoeing into reducing that number right now. I think a big reason for that is, you know, a huge chunk of the Brazilian crop's the second corn crop, and that's not even been put in the ground in a lot of places yet. So I think they're being cautious. But based on, you know, the weather conditions in South America, I think we're looking at a reduced corn crop out of South America, which is reflected in the domestic numbers they produce today in the corn market. In the soybean market, they did take 7 million metric tons out of Argentinian soybean production. I actually thought that's probably about what they do. We've heard many reports anywhere from 40 million metric tons to 43. You know, it feels like they're maybe inching down toward that before it's all said and done. It's hard to say where Argentina is going to be in soybean production, but they've already taken 7 million metric tons out, and I think the market's expecting a few more metric tons to come out of that number. They raised Brazilian production 113 million metric tons, so that's a 1 million metric ton increase, and it coincides with what CONAB released for their production number as well, so that number's looking pretty stable. It might go up as we move through the harvest, but right now I think that's something the market can accept.
Let me put those in bushels. The corn change was down 20 million bushels for Brazil. Their soybean production up 37 million. Corn in Argentina down 118 million. And soybean production down 257 million bushels. This is just one of the set of numbers that USDA produces. Mostly they look at what's happening here in the United States. The ending stocks numbers changed, and the calculations to get there had a couple of changes. Start with the corn numbers.
Yeah, corn ending stocks decreased 225 million bushels, according to USDA, down to 2.127 billion bushels. That ending stocks decrease was driven by them increasing ethanol used for corn by 50 million bushels, and they increased exports for corn by 175 million bushels. And this is sort of tying into what we've been seeing the last few months. A strong domestic demand and export demand for corn has been building over the last few weeks. So I'm not surprised by the direction of those moves by USDA. I'm a little less optimistic on exports than that, even though I still have them going up significantly from what they had it before. 175 extra million bushels means we're really going to be setting the pace for the last 6 months of the marketing year. And if my calculations are right, we're looking at about 235 million bushels a month for the rest of the marketing year to hit that number. So if that happens, that'd be great. But, you know, we're talking 50, 60, 70 million bushels difference. All in all, strong corn demand driving down the ending stocks for corn in the 17-18 marketing year should be pretty supportive of prices.
Did it change any of the other numbers for corn?
Not really. They pretty much kept them all stable. The feed, seed, and industrial use is still at 1.47 billion bushels, and they've left feed and residual at 5.55 billion. We'll have a better idea about that on March 29th when we finally get the March 1st corn stocks number, if that's still going to be there.
And the soybean figures.
Sadly, they went in the direction I thought for exports. They reduced exports 35 million bushels. You know, we've seen exports being weaker than the earlier projections from USDA for quite a while. We did get a good export sales number this morning, but you know, the pace of export inspections over the last few weeks and how many exports we've done through the first half of the marketing year, yeah, that number doesn't surprise me, the reduction. Hopefully it won't come down more as we move forward. I'd like to see the soybean export pace pick up. They did increase crush 10 million bushels. I sort of expected that with the issues we've seen out of Argentina. The question is, will we hit that kind of number with our crush capacity? I don't have any issue with those numbers at all. So in total, they raised ending stocks for soybeans to 555 million bushels, which is a 25 million bushel increase. Yeah, honestly, we've sort of seen this coming for a couple of months based on the export numbers we've been seeing. So as we move through the rest of the marketing year, it'd be nice if we picked up the export pace some and saw crush strengthen significantly.
So you would characterize these as bearish soybeans, friendly corn?
I'd say it's very friendly for corn, slightly bearish for soybeans. I think the market probably knew these export numbers were going down, expected some increase in crush. I still think they think there's bushels coming out of Argentina still to be lost. So, you know, as we're moving through this month, the next big report to watch is on March 29th in the prospective plantings report. How many acres of soybeans are we going to plant? And that might be the number that turns this market. So that's what I'm looking at. I think barring some kind of rapid increase in soybean exports, you know, we'll see an ending stocks at 555 or maybe slightly higher.
Thanks so much.
Yes, sir.
That, of course, is Todd Hubbs. He's an agricultural commodity specialist here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Hey, please do join us tonight at Lakeland College for another one of our Will Ag panels. This one will include Todd Hubbs from the U of I, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing, Merrill Crowley of Midwest Market Solutions, and Jackie Vick should be with us as well from Stuart Peterson. That's at 6:30 tonight at Lakeland College. You'll be at the West Building, and it's open and free to all. Hope to see you there. Let's check the cash grain market now. We're joined by Matt Bennett. He's at Bennett Consulting Channel Seeds out of Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So, what did the cash grain market think of the report today? Did it react very much?
Well, you know, obviously we had a nice little move as far as the board was concerned with corn. I mean, you see stocks tightening, you know, for both corn and beans, or I mean, for both the world and U.S. corn. And then, of course, the world stocks and soybeans tightening up a little bit. You know, the bottom line for me is that, you know, basis has actually held in there way better than what we would have ever dreamed that it would hang in there, especially with the kind of rally that we've been able to see here in the last few weeks.
Do you think we can continue to move higher?
Yeah, that's the big question. You know, I think that as far as corn is concerned, you know, at this stage of the game, you know, with the USDA sticking with the 94.5 on Brazil, yes, they came down Argentina. Most look for that to even get smaller on the corn crop. They look for Brazil to get a little smaller. Most people are smaller than the USDA. So, you know, you could burn through almost 20%. You could have a reduction in world stocks somewhere between 15 and 20% pretty easily here this year. And in that situation, you're taking the carry out down, you know, a lot closer to 2 billion. Anybody ever guess what you're going to see is the necessity that you're going to have decent weather, especially with the acreage, you know, cotton acres picking up at 2.5 million acres. Is that going to be a wash with loss of wheat acres? I don't know. But you may not get 180 of corn and beans combined.
Hey, Matt, thanks so much.
Thank you.
That, of course, is Matt Bennett. This is the Closing Market Report. We're now joined by Mike Tenora, T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, this morning, USDA updated the South American production figures. Did they reflect what you were thinking?
Well, the big thing we were watching for regarded Argentina, as I'm sure was the case for most people. They dropped their soybean production number from 54 million metric tons all the way down to 47, so that's a big drop. The big question going forward regards whether or not we can have an even bigger drop in the April report. History says that you can see yield losses of about 25% in Argentina. The reason we say that is because we've seen that happen three times since 1980. A drop of 25% would bring their total production down to 40 million metric tons. So there is some room there for things to still go down, but it will all come down to the weather. Over the next week, there's not too much in the way of rainfall. So we're telling all of our subscribers that the drought is going to intensify over the next week. Things change a little bit after that. We're finally going to see a big storm system move on through, and that's primarily a function of the transition from summer to autumn. Because we're getting close to autumn now, we're going to start seeing some stronger systems move through. And it looks like one of those is going to hit around Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of next week, so 7 to 10 days from now. That should bring their biggest rain of the entire growing season to the region. For soybeans, that would be like getting a big rain around September 1st after one of your driest July-August periods in your history. So it remains to be seen how much that will help, but that'll be the big uncertainty going forward, I'm sure.
And your view of the adjustments made to the Brazilian numbers?
Well, Brazil was increased by about 1 million metric tons from 112 to 113. A lot of people were saying that it could go a lot higher than that based on the reports we were seeing, but we were trying to point out to our subscribers that dryness has existed at different points in the growing season across Brazil. Even over the last 60 days, about 39% of their soybean production had been drier than normal based on our proprietary analysis. So it's hard to get a huge crop when you have that much coverage of dryness. But still, one of the things we've learned from the research that I did with Scott Irwin and Daryl Good at the University of Illinois is that if you have normal weather, you end up with an above trend crop. And that's simply because when you have a really bad crop, it pulls your whole trend downward. So the normal crop looks a little better than it could have. So what they're saying about Brazil makes sense, even in light of some dryness.
Finally, here in the United States, there's a real disparity between rainfall conditions for the Midwest and those in the Southwest.
Well, that's true. If you look at the November, December, January period across the Central Plains, and by that we define it as Nebraska, Kansas, and Oklahoma, it was the number three driest period of the last 123 years, over November through December through January. Since then, though, it was actually the number 20 wettest in February, and that tells us something changed. And we did see a lot of rain over a big chunk of the United States last month. We're still in that weather pattern with occasional storm systems to move on through, so we'll need to keep an eye on that. Our conclusion at this point is that it's simply been a function of bad luck that we haven't seen some big rains in the key hard red winter wheat areas of the plains. Though keep in mind, the coverage of agricultural drought, that's defined as dryness over the last 90 days, that diminished from including about 85% of U.S. production in the beginning of January to only 45% yesterday. So even though there still are dry pockets out there, and a fairly intense one from southwest Kansas through western Oklahoma and into west Texas, pretty much everybody else has been turning wetter.
And thanks, Mike. Mike Tenores with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. I'm Yovai Extension's Todd Gleason.